Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. You know, yesterday we had the biggest day we've had so far for the podcast, 525 downloads in 24 hours. Thanks, guys. Thanks very much. Very much appreciated. And I am wrapped. That's really awesome. Today we're up to book 11, chapter 5. At that very time, in circumstances even more important than retreating without a battle, namely the evacuation and burning of Moscow, Rostopchin, who is usually represented as being the instigator of that event, acted in an altogether different manner from Kutuzov. After the Battle of Borodino, the abandonment and burning of Moscow was as inevitable as the retreat of the army beyond Moscow without fighting. Every Russian might have predicted it, not by reasoning, but by the feeling implanted in each of us and in our fathers. The same thing that took place in Moscow had happened in all the towns and villages on Russian soil, beginning with Smolensk. Without the participation of Count Rostopchin and his broadsheets, the people awaited the enemy unconcernedly, did not riot or become excited or tear anyone to pieces, but faced its fate, feeling within it the strength to find what it should do at that most difficult moment. And as soon as the enemy drew near, the wealthy classes went away, abandoning their property, while the poorer remained and burnt and destroyed what was left. The consciousness that this would be so and would always be so was and is present in the heart of every Russian. And a consciousness of this, and a foreboding that Moscow would be taken, was present in Russian Moscow society in 1812. Those who had quitted Moscow already in July and at the beginning of August showed that they expected this. Those who went away, taking what they could and abandoning their houses and half their belongings, did so that latent patriotism which expresses itself not by phrases or by giving one's children to save the fatherland, and by similar unnatural exploits, but unobtrusively, simply, organically, and therefore in the way that always produces the most powerful results. It is disgraceful to run away from danger. Only cowards are running away from Moscow, they were told. In his broadsheets, Rostopchin impressed on them that to leave Moscow was shameful. They were ashamed to be called cowards, ashamed to leave, but still they left, knowing it had to be done. Why did they go? It is impossible to suppose that Rostopchin had scared them by his accounts of horrors Napoleon had committed in conquered countries. The first people to go away were the rich, educated people who knew quite well that Vienna and Berlin had remained intact, and that during Napoleon's occupation the inhabitants had spent their time pleasantly in the company of the charming Frenchmen whom the Russians, and especially the Russian ladies, then liked so much. They went away because for Russians there could be no question as to whether things would go well or ill under French rule in Moscow. It was out of the question to be under French rule. It would be the worst thing that could happen. They went away even before the Battle of Borodino, and still more rapidly after it, despite Rostopchin's calls to defend Moscow, or the announcement of his intention to take the wonder-working icon of the Iberian Mother of God and go to fight, or of the balloons that were to destroy the French, and despite all the nonsense Rostopchin wrote in his broadsheets. They knew that it was for the army to fight, and that it could not succeed. It would not do to take young ladies and house serfs to the Three Hills quarter of Moscow to fight Napoleon, and that they must go away, sorry as they were to abandon their property to destruction. They went away without thinking of the tremendous significance of that immense and wealthy city being given over to destruction, for a great city with wooden buildings was certain, when abandoned by its inhabitants, to be burnt. They went away, each on his own accord, and yet it was only in consequence of their going away that the momentous event was accomplished. That will always remain the greatest glory of the Russian people. The lady, who, afraid of being stopped by Count Rostopchin's orders, had already in June moved with her negroes and her women jesters from Moscow to her Saratov estate, with a vague consciousness that she was not Bonaparte's servant, was really simply and truly carrying out the great work which saved Russia. Okay, I'm about to read the longest sentence I've ever read. Okay, here it goes. I'll let you know when it finishes. But Count Rostopchin, who now taunted those who left Moscow and now had the government officers removed, now distributed quite useless weapons to the drunken rabble, now had processions displaying the icons, and now forbade Father Augustin to remove icons or the relics of saints, now seized all the private carts in Moscow and on 136 of them removed the balloon that was being constructed by Lepich, now hinted that he would burn Moscow and related how he had set fire to his own house, now wrote a proclamation to the French solemnly upbraiding them for having destroyed his orphanage, now claimed the glory of having hinted that he would burn Moscow and now repudiated the deed, now ordered the people to catch all spies and bring them to him, and now reproached them for doing so, now expelled all the French residents from Moscow, and now allowed Madame Orbite Shelmy, the centre of the whole French colony in Moscow, to remain, but ordered the venerable old postmaster Vluchurev to be arrested and exiled for no particular offence, now assembled the people at the Three Hills to fight the French, and now, to get rid of them, handed over to them a man to be killed, and himself drove away by a back gate, now declared that he would not survive the fall of Moscow, and now wrote French verses in albums concerning his share in the affair. The footnote here says, George Dandin is the leading character in Molière's play Georges Dandin, or Les Maris Confondus. This man did not understand the meaning of what was happening, but merely wanted to do something himself that would astonish people, to perform some patriotically heroic feat, and like a child he made sport of the momentous and unavoidable event, the abandonment and burning of Moscow, and tried with his puny hand now to speed and now to stay the enormous popular tide that bore him along with it. Whew. There you go. That was the longest sentence ever, and that's the end of the chapter. Can you believe the length of that sentence? I've read shorter stories. Short stories. You know, sometimes I wonder if it's the editors or if the way it was written, but I don't know. That's ridiculous. Alright, so what was that chapter even about? You know, with a sentence that long, I can't even remember what the sentence was about. Count Rostopchin, who now taunted those. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I can't make sense of that sentence. I think I'd need like a spreadsheet or something to try to decode that sentence. But Count Rostopchin, who now taunted those who left Moscow and now had the government offices removed, now distributed blah blah blah, now did this, now did this, now did that. Is he doing different things that oppose one another? Is he doing conflicting things? And like a child he made sport of the momentous and unavoidable event, the abandonment and burning of Moscow, and tried with his puny hand now to speed and now to stay the enormous popular tide that bore him along with it. So he's making a sport of the event of abandoning Moscow. Is that what that means? You know, I can't even try to see, like, play the devil's advocate on a paragraph like that, a sentence which is longer than several paragraphs should be. I can see no merit in it. It's just straight up bad. If you've got a counter argument on why that was good, I'd love to hear it, but that was unbearable to read. I can't actually even remember what the chapter was about. Let's see what the other guys had to say. Chattel Valster said, even though Tolstoy said that history isn't made by the actions of a few great men, but by the sum of many, in this chapter he writes that this event wasn't really the cause of Rostopchin alone, but putting the emphasis on whom we picture as the guiding hand of this event. Still, Tolstoy takes him as the main cause of the event. Would you have liked to see that the event was described as being caused by a lot of people, or do you agree with the way Tolstoy did it? It was Rostopchin who chose to abandon Moscow, or the way he handled the abandonment of Moscow? Because I thought it was Kutuzov who said they should abandon Moscow. Ugh, I don't know. You know what I liked about this chapter? The way that they lost the battle at Borodino. They retreated, and then they retreated further than Moscow. And then they abandoned Moscow. And not only did they abandon it, but they burned it down. And I don't know, I don't think cathartic is the word. I don't think that's it. But there's something about, it's like the correct way to go about defeat, right? If you need to be reborn and grow and become something new and rebuild yourself, is to, I don't know, it's almost like a selfish act, self-destruction. Burn it down. But it's, I don't know, it seems symbolic. It seems somehow necessary, doesn't it? As grim as that is, it's like you welcome the destruction. You welcome your own defeat. Once it's inevitable, once it's happened, you go, yep, if we're going to be defeated, we're really going to be defeated. Tear it down. Let's start again. I don't know. I have this weird, I don't know, it's a fondness for unsentimentality. What's the opposite of sentimentality? For people who are not sentimental, I've got this weird fondness for that. To destroy the past. I really liked, the thing I really liked about the most recent Star Wars movie was the way Ben Solo was trying to kill the past. Let the past die. Kill it if you have to. It's the only way to become who we truly are. I think that's what he says. I think that's what he says in the trailer. It's such a cool line. And I know he's the villain, and that's meant to be, like an ominous bad thing for him to say. But for me, it kind of resonated. Like, sometimes it's the right thing to do, to kill the past. What are your thoughts on that one, hey? I'd love to hear back from some of the listeners. We've had 525 listeners yesterday. We've had about 1,200 listeners in the last 48 hours. No, wait. In the last, what's 3 days? In the last 3 days, I'm not doing maths right now. In the last 2.5 days, we've had about that many. And I don't get a lot of feedback. So tweet me at Andrew Lewis, or drop a comment on the Reddit thing or on the podcast itself. Let me know what you think. Strike up a conversation. Do you think it's in some ways necessary to burn down the past? Just like Yoda did when he struck that tree, burnt those books. And just like the Muscovites did when they retreated past Moscow and left it to the French, burnt to the ground. All right, that's going to do us for today. Thank you for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.